This morning's sermon text is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 27. It reads, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." To get a better context, I want to begin my reading in verses 25 through 31. "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." The gospel, or the good news, is God's gift of eternal life to sinful people. The gospel is simple, it's easy to understand, and all the work has been done by Jesus on the cross. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believers' eternal victory is in Christ alone. He paid the penalty for sins of mankind on the cross once and for all. The shedding of Jesus' sinless, spotless blood, it was necessary for the atonement of all sins, past, present, and future. Because each one of us is guilty before a holy God. Jesus, nailed to the cross, took our sins upon Himself. He took the wrath of God that we each deserve upon Himself. He exchanged places with us, a righteous God and a sinful person. He did that so that we could be made right with God, so that our sins can be forgiven, so that we can be reconciled to God. Praise God. Not only did Jesus free us from a bondage of sin that we could never escape on our own, through the grace of God, we have eternal life through Jesus. The resurrection of Christ is the main basis of the Christian faith. Jesus said in John 2:19, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." The temple was His body. And through many eyewitness accounts, Jesus, the risen Savior, was seen, including an account of up to 500 people at once. The resurrection did in fact happen. And without the resurrection, our faith would be useless. But we serve a living God and not a dead man. So if asked about the difference between religions, only one answer comes to mind, and that's Jesus Christ. All religions can make your life better through some kind of moral living, self-improvement, but none is as unique as Christianity due to one who can save your soul and grant eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ. So to recap, the gospel is as easy as ABC. A, admit that you are a sinner. Admit that you have fallen short of the glory of God. Admit that because of your sinful condition, you need a Savior. B, believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Believe in every word, work, and promise that Jesus has said, done, and will do. and believe that Jesus isn't a regular person, but He is God in the flesh. Amen. And see, confess with your mouth and make Jesus Lord over your life, and you shall be saved. Amen. Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I just presented a clear understanding of the gospel for all who believe this truth and have surrendered your life to Jesus. Your eternal life is secure because of Christ. But to a lot of people in society, this is considered foolishness. So I personally ask you, did the gospel make sense to you, or is it nonsense to you? Proverbs 14:12 reads, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." 1 Corinthians 1:18 reads, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Three applications I want to take away from our scripture verse. First, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Second, God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And third, our boasting is only to be in God. First, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Who are the foolish? Believers are, according to the world we live in. John 3:20 reads, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." So can we say that believers are more like the wisest people in the world because believers will live eternally with God while non-believers will suffer in hell? No, we can't. Remain humble, brothers and sisters. God revealed Himself to us through Jesus. Everything, including our salvation, is from God and not ourselves. His providential hand. We need to erase that kind of attitude that we're better than other people. Paul addresses it in 1 Corinthians 4:10. He says, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored." It's God's desire that all men would come to receive Him. But He knew beforehand who would receive Him and who would not. God, all-knowing, and because of that, called, believers are called His chosen people. 1 Peter 2:9 reads, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." The truth is that God has chosen a people not by their intellect, not foolish, nor wisest, but cut to the heart, having heard the gospel, and in one sense realized that their spiritual condition is lost, that their spiritual condition is dead in sin, and have accepted God's terms for eternal life, not our own, God's. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Acts 4:12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Amen. The wise in Christ's time were like the kings and the elite, like the rich young ruler, or the Pharisees and the scribes. that professed that they knew everything about the laws of God and the ways of God, but they were blinded to the Messiah standing right in front of them. How would you describe the wise today? Prideful? The so-called educated that need proof or science to explain God? Which could also describe atheist as well. Where do you think that brilliant scientist Steve Hawkins that just died is? He was brilliant in a lot of people's eyes. But he rejected God because of science, because of human wisdom. Human wisdom can hit both sides of an argument. The position of today's so-called wise people think that there are many ways to God through different religions or philosophies or self. And then on the other side, there's people that don't even acknowledge God. They say things like, ask the universe for this or for that. Clear case where they worship the creation rather than the creator. God created the universe. Ask God. Human wisdom, it's not from God, it's from the devil. He is the master deceptor, very powerful, and continues to lead people away from the Savior through his deception. Proverbs 26:12 reads, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." The gospel in itself is foolishness by many people's standards because they fail to take God in account for their salvation. They're too preoccupied with life in this fallen world rather than the eternal life to come. You see, God's divine wisdom turns man's values upside down. Your soul is the most precious possession you have. Not your money or your big houses or your lavish things. None of that. Our caskets are built to fit one thing, our bodies. Not everything else we own. I heard a commencement speech from an actor that talked about God, and then he also mentioned the Egyptians as well. He said the Egyptians, they had this same type of attitude. And they wanted to take everything they owned with them into the next life. And what happened? They got robbed. The foolish plans of God are far wiser than the wisest human plans. God chose you and I to speak on his behalf, to plant seeds of the gospel into the hearts of the lost. Let the words of Christ in all their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. Use his words to teach and to counsel each other. And for those who have ears to hear, let them hear. God has given believers a calling. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The question for each one of us is, are we answering the call? Is your conscience ringing right now? Then what is stopping you? Pray about it with God. This leads me to the second application. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put the things which are mighty to shame. When you look in the mirror, how do you see yourself? You see a person of strength, courage, boldness? Well, that's how God sees the believer because God is in every believer. And when we say we can't do something like tell others about God, let go of excuse. Don't limit God, because God knows that we can, so that His will be done through you. God can take any weakness we have and make it a strength, and use you despite whatever is going on in your life. He can use you. He will use you to impact the life of others in a life-changing, God-honoring way, becoming fishers of men. Just think about the people who led you to Christ and the change that happened through you because of God. Psalm 31:24 says, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord." God said to Paul, and He also says to you and I, "My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." Followers of Christ, it is the Holy Spirit working through you. You have God's divine power. Acts 1:8 reads, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Those words are for every believer to speak about God outside these four walls. Remember the Apostle Peter. When he was asked on three separate occasions if he knew Jesus, and he said, "No, I don't know this man." In his moment of weakness, he denied knowing Jesus. He couldn't even tell the truth to a servant girl. We each have had that moment of weakness when that time came to speak to a family member or a friend or someone passing you by on the streets. Don't let that moment prevent you from trying to serve God's will again. Don't let it paralyze you. What happened when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles? What happened to Peter? God used Peter to proclaim the Messiah to crowds and crowds of people in Jerusalem. Peter also proclaimed Jesus to the Jewish Sanhedrin, the highest religious and civil court in Judaism. The reaction of the Jewish leaders were as such. Acts 4:13 reads, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus." Continuing in verse 16, they thought, "What shall we do with these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them that is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." What a big turnaround for Peter since denying Jesus to that servant girl. Praise God that He doesn't let our failures stop us from becoming who He wants us to be. He won't let our failures and our flaws put our God-given purpose in serving Him to an end. But He will use our failures, He will use our flaws to further us, not only in our spiritual growth, but in our purpose, serving His will. My friends, you and I are God's tools to spread the seeds of the gospel, to reflect Christ onto others. And God won't cast His tools aside because of our flaws. He loves us despite our flaws. But He will continue to work in our lives. He will sharpen us. He will fix us. He will sand out the rough edges. Amen. So that His will through us shall be done and accomplished. We are to give God all the glory and all the praise, which leads to the final point. We are to boast in God and not only ourselves, not in ourselves. Excuse me. As we increase in our spiritual growth and God's purpose for our lives, don't let it get to your head, folks. In other words, don't get puffed up and think, look at me. Salvation is from God alone. His grace alone. God works on the heart. He gave us the conscience. Not us. We simply share the good news. Don't let your role in ministry elevate yourself, but direct all praises to God. Remember, you and I are still sinners. You and I still fall short of God's glory every day. We are not to look down on others, but to continue to look up to God. We may be foolish or weak in man's eyes, but we are God's instruments for one purpose: to glorify God. I'd like to direct you to the last passage. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 11. It reads, "For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." To conclude, your ministry matters, regardless of your role in the body of Christ, regardless of what people think as foolish or weak. Stand up. Stand out for Christ. Remain humble, and God will bless your ministry. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Father, for revealing yourself to us, either through creation, through our conscience, through the Word, or through your Son. Thank you so much, Father, for the work that you have done for us through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for making our redemption possible through Him. Thank you, Father, for allowing believers to be your mouthpiece, to speak on your behalf in a fallen world. Thank you, Father, for working through us, through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your leading in our lives. And I pray, Father, that we lean more on you and not ourselves. That if there is any doubts in our minds, in our hearts, that we follow you, that we continue to dive into the Word and be strengthened, be encouraged, and be bold for your sake. Regardless of what persecution that we may face, the darkness of this world, what they think may seem foolishness, thank you, Father, again, for giving us a joy in our heart and a message to give. In glory and glorify you, Father, in Christ alone and faith alone. Thank you, Father, for again this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now please offer one another a sign of peace.